Welcome now to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as you heard with Peter Bryant on Monday, the Early Music Festival is underway, a longtime tradition in Wisconsin with a lot of wonderful variety and very old music that somehow sounds as if it was written yesterday. One of its practitioners has stopped by the studio today with some insights into the Early Music Festival, but also some brand new old music. Welcome back to the Midday, Brandy Berry Benson.
Hi, Norm. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And so just before we get into some of these new performances of old music that you've recorded, your participation in the festival this time around?
Oh, yes. So this time around, I had the privilege and pleasure of playing with the Alchemy Viols. We did a really nice performance of American in Paris, a lot of really beautiful French Baroque music and stellar dancers, stellar musicians. It was a really great experience. So that pretty much kicked off my festival experience. And now I'm here as faculty teaching an ornamentation class and coaching a Baroque ensemble. And then, of course, participating in the big all festival concert that's going to happen this coming Saturday.
Now, about the, you actually have two CDs that are about to come out, is that right?
Yes. So the Bach and Beethoven Experience, we have just released two albums, A Gaelic Summer and An Appalachian Summer, both with the, the impulse and just the enthusiasm of finding all those wonderful intersections between Baroque music and past folk and fiddle traditions.
Yeah, which it turns out is a rich connection there.
Oh, absolutely. A very rich connection.
And if you look at works by Bach or Haydn, for example, you find a lot of folk connections, and that would apply to a lot of other major composers too.
Yes, definitely.
Well, there's one composer that is intriguing, the Irish composer Turlough O'Carolan,
yes,
who was at one instance tested by Francesco Gimignani, a foremost Baroque composer, and determined, yeah, he really knows his stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's kind of the funny thing. The tune was originally written in honor of a Mrs. Power of Corheen. What's interesting is, so Gimignani, he decided he would test, Turlough O'Carolan by sending him a piece with mistakes.
Right.
And, Turlough O'Carolan was a blind musician. So, you know, he had to dictate the corrections back. But, you know, he also said, well, here and there, the piece limps and stumbles.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what he said, but he had it all figured out. So, so folk musician, a renowned folk musician, but he certainly knew the rules and the standards of Baroque music of his time. Well, there's this little piece called O'Carolan's Concerto,
yes,
that you've recorded with your group, and not a concerto in the usual sense.
Right. Yeah. No, actually got that title from having had this little mini competition between the two of them. So,
here it is, and then more about this later.
Thank you.
Well, that certainly doesn't limp or stumble. That was Carillon's Concerto. And what's the name of the group then, Brandy?
Yeah, so we are the Bach and Beethoven Experience, and we're based out of Chicago. We actually formed up in 2009 as just a few grad students wanting to add to the early music scene. And then, you know, the group has since very much evolved. I think in 2014, we decided to change our structure a little bit. And so we got our 501c3 status, we got a board, we did all of that great stuff. And what really prompted just wanting to explore more of that folk and Baroque tradition was a production that we did in 2016 of Alan Ramsay's The Gentle Shepherd, which was the first Scottish opera. And what was so interesting about that work was that all the arias were actually old fiddle tunes that he set to text. And it really turned out to be more of a musical play. But the fact that a lot of the fiddle tunes' earliest documentation that happened to show up in this facsimile was really intriguing to me and prompted me to do a bit more research about the older folk and fiddle traditions in Scotland and then branch out into Ireland and England and Wales. And so with this album, we actually pay tribute, if you will, to all four of these countries. And so we pulled from sources like the Hibernian Muse, from Calliope or English Harmony, from James Oswald's Caledonian Pocket Companion, you name it, we found a way to use it. And not all of these tunes that are on this album, we didn't just replicate the way they were on the music. Like, so some of these are actually arrangements. So for instance, the Welsh Ground, I found it in Edward Jones' harp collection for, you know, it was tunes written out, variations for harp players, but I actually fleshed that out to include two Baroque violins and continuo, for instance. Something like Stingo, we made a variation and made an arrangement on the spot in the studio. And so these are a lot of these are arrangements and not just,
touch of spontaneity too.
Yes, exactly.
What about Nottingham Ale? Is it a dance tune or just a song?
Well, so it's both. Yeah. So it's also known as Lily Bolero, and Nottingham Ale, the lyrics come from the brother of an innkeeper named Gunthorpe. And so this brother, he actually sent Gunthorpe an ale, a beer he had made. And so Gunthorpe was so inspired by how it tasted that he wrote a poem basically praising Nottingham Ale. And whenever I've performed this, you know, I've actually, one of my most memorable performances was with the Newbery Consort on this piece. And one of the things that always struck me about it is anytime we would play it, we would always play with an audience. And in the recording, we wanted to capture, with audience participation, I mean. So the audience would have the audience join in singing the bar chorus, if you will. And so I wanted to really capture that in this iteration of the recording. And so what we did was the five of us that were playing, we got in the studio and the engineer helped us we actually recorded the bar chorus where we needed to. We tracked it into the recording so that we could get that atmosphere and that feel into the song. So it's a great, I loved how it turned out, and it was a great way to be silly and fun at the same time.
Nottingham Ale.
Fair Venus, the goddess of beauty and love, arose from the froth which swam on the sea. Minerva leapt out of the cranium of Jove, a coy, sullen dame, as most authors agree. Bold Bacchus, they tell us, the prince of good fellas, was a natural son, pray attend to my tale. And they thus that chatter mistake quite the matter. He sprung from a barrel of Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale. No liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale. No liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. And having surveyed well the cask whence he sprung, for want of more liquor, though spirited grew, he mounted astride to the jolly cask along, and away to the gods and the goddesses flew. But when he looked down and saw the fair town, to pay it due honors not likely to fail, he swore that on earth 'twas the town of his birth, and the best and no liquor like Nottingham ale.
Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale.
Ye bishops and deacons, priests, curates, and vicars, when once you have tasted, you'll own it is true, that Nottingham ale, it's the best of all liquors, and who understands the good creature like you? It expels every vapor, saves pen, ink, and paper, and when you're disposed from the pulpit to rail, 'twill open your throats, you may preach without notes, when inspired with a bumper of Nottingham ale.
Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale.
Ye doctors who more execution have done with powder embolus, with potion and pill, than hangman with halter, or soldier with gun, than miser with famine, a lawyer with quill, to dispatch us the quicker, you forbid us malt liquor, till our bodies consume and our faces grow pale. When mind it would pleases and cures all diseases is a comfortable dose of good Nottingham ale.
Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale.
Ye poets who brag of the Helicon brook, the nectar of gods and the juice of the vine, you say none can write well except they invoke the friendly assistance of one of the nine. Hers liquor surpasses the stream of Parnassus, the nectar ambrosia on which gods regale. Experience will show it not makes a good poet like quantum sufficient of Nottingham ale.
Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale. Nottingham ale, boys, Nottingham ale, no liquor on earth is like Nottingham ale.
Wisconsin Public Radio received no remuneration for that commercial message. But would that commercials that do come across actually were more like that.
Yes, absolutely. And perfect for the pubs. I should mention that this program, actually, we did a pub tour. And I also should mention my comrades that I did this album with. So who you just heard singing, that was Thomas Elaine. He's our executive director of the Bach and Beethoven Experience. Kyoi Matsura was the other Baroque fiddle joining me. David Walker was on the oboe and Baroque guitar for this album. And then also we had Phil Spray joining us on the big violone.
Well, and a good time was had by all.
Absolutely. With some ale.
it may have helped, actually. Yes.
Yes.
Now, so what's the name of this Gaelic album?
It's called A Gaelic Summer.
A Gaelic Summer.
So, in fact, we played it in the summer, and we played at various bars and pubs in Chicago. And then also a number of series. It's probably the program that we've performed most often, I think. But it very much lends itself to having that kind of atmosphere and, of course, enjoying a beer. I mean, you can't perform this music without being in a space where you can enjoy an ale while you listen and sing along. And actually, when we also performed this, we were joined by the Thistle and Heather Highland dancers. And so they had choreographed some dances with some of the tunes that we played. And then they also invited some of the audience to come up and join them in a nice, like, Strip the Willow and some other fun group dances. And of course, when you've been drinking, it doesn't matter what you look like. You're just having fun.
Well, we have time for one more from a second album that you released.
Yes. So we released An Appalachian Summer. So a disclaimer, I actually grew up in Texas and I grew up with a bluegrass background, and just I was so intrigued by having done a bunch of research on how on what the early folk and fiddle traditions were in Europe that I wanted to find out more about what happened when, you know, that finally came over here to the colonies. And so An Appalachian Summer really pays tribute to early American folk traditions and songs. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of really strong ties back to Europe. And so a couple of the, you were actually, I was listening to some of the music you were playing on a show, on the show earlier, Aaron Copeland's Rodeo Suite. And we actually do a version of Bonaparte's Retreat, which of which is the melody that Aaron Copeland actually chose to be his hoedown, you know, the inspiration for his hoedown movement.
Yeah, that was a popular tune back in 18th century.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's cool about it actually is, so Alan and Elizabeth Lomax, who they were actually the ones to alert Aaron Copeland to this melody.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Very famous folk song collectors.
Yes. And what's also pretty cool about it is for fiddle players, so there's a different tuning that's often associated with this tune too. We call it our version of the drop D tuning, where we actually take the lowest string, the G string on the fiddle, and drop it down to a D so that the bottom two strings are actually in octaves with each other, which produces a really cool drone. It also produces a very slack string, so it makes some cool sounds. But the top string is also then lowered a whole step so that the E string becomes a D. And then that just creates a really nice sonority, nice beefy sonority, if you will. Every time I hear this song, I have to think of the Beef It's What's for Dinner commercial from the
90s. Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of commercials, yeah, yes, a lot of people are conditioned.
Yes.
So this is a familiar tune, The Girl I Left Behind Me.
Yes.
And, you know, but also a folk tune. Going
also
back longer than we might think.
Yeah. So it's but very possible. I mean, a lot of times these tunes have, you know, some of them are not as clear about exactly where they came from, but it's very possible that it originated in Ireland. And some of the earliest notation we have actually comes from a German flute violin collection from 1810. And the earliest lyric setting can be found in a Dublin collection called Charms of Melody, which was published in 1791.
So here we go.
I'm lonesome since I crossed the hill and o'er the moor and valley. Such heavy thoughts my heart do fill since parting with my Sally. I seek no more the fine and gay, for each does but remind me how swift the hours did pass away with the girl I've left behind me. She says, my love, come home to me. My friends are rich and many, or else abroad with you I'll roam, a soldier stout as any. If you'll not come or let me go, I'll think you have resigned me. It broke my heart to answer no to the girl I left behind me. Shall my true love brave a
life of war and toil in, and ever as a skulking slave, I'll tread my native soil on. But someday I'll return again, if the rebels they don't find me, and never will I roam again from the girl I left behind me.
You hear it so often as what, some kind of a, like a military flute tune, you know, or a fife or something. You don't get to hear the words that often. The Girl I Left Behind Me. And this is from an Appalachian CD. Is that the concept for the second disc that we're talking about?
Yeah, An Appalachian Summer is just exploring the early American traditions. And again, a lot of these tie back into Europe, and there's... pretty much all the tunes are arrangements, actually. So this was an arrangement that was included to period fiddles, dulcimer, and banjo.
Nice combination.
Yes, very nice.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, can I mention the guys who played?
Yes, do that. I was wondering who the singer was in particular.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, in particular, Thomas Elaine. He was the voice. He was on the vocals. So Kiyoi Matsura joined me again on period fiddle. And Keith Collins, he plays a lot of different instruments. On this particular album, he played the dulcimer. And then he brought several in different tunings. That's a whole nother podcast in itself. But then Matt Brown also joined us on banjo.
A lively crew.
Yes.
And we'll look forward to hearing more when the CDs come out in a week or two.
Yes, absolutely. And they are available for purchase right now. Oh, sorry.
But you can hear them on WPR with any luck soon. And Brandy Barry Benson's been my guest for this part of the midday. Chicago-based musician, but comes up to Wisconsin often to perform with the Early Music Festival, sometimes the Madison Bach Musicians and other groups, too, around Wisconsin. So good to see you again. And thanks for sharing these tunes on the cusp of their release.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.